If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello. You're listening to BFN. This is the podcast about infertility, IVF, and the trials of trying for a baby. I'm Gabby.
And I'm Emma, and we're both card-carrying members of the Infertility Club. Briefly,
for one special episode.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's Fertility Week.
It is Fertility Week in the UK.
The UK, indeed.
And what better way of marking it than a special episode of BFN?
Exactly. I know you were all hoping it would happen.
Yeah.
So, we've got a little special because, there were a few storylines that have not been resolved yet.
There are.
And
we've had a lot of letters. Yeah, sadly, we haven't had any letters actually. Misses. No one's ever written to us. How
with
awful.
Wax sealed envelopes.
They arrived via carrier pigeon. Oh my god, do you know what happened to me yesterday?
What?
A bird flew into one of our windows and died.
No.
I literally felt like a terrible person for like hours afterwards.
Well, it's not your fault, I guess.
Yeah, it flew into the window, fell onto the conservatory and then was like flapping about. And I was like, oh no, it's broken its wing. We need to rescue it. And then John picked it up and like took it. He was going to like take it to the end of the garden just to see what would happen. Mm. And it died in his arms.
Oh my God. That's a tragedy.
Which makes me think, did we give it a heart attack? But I guess that's a better way of going than like not being able to fly.
Maybe. It was probably beyond repair.
Yeah, it was a turtle dove.
Was it
a turtle dove? No, it wasn't a turtle dove. It was a collared dove.
I can't believe you know the difference.
Well, turtle doves are really rare, so that would have been really awful.
Right, okay.
But well, collared doves.
All birds' lives are equal, though, Emma.
Yeah, they are. And I felt horrible. It was a horrible thing. But
you need to get one of those, those little bird pictures in an oval that people have on the window that stops them flying into the windows.
Oh, I didn't know about those.
Yeah, because they see another bird and they're like, oh, I'm not going over there. Okay. Not flying into that trap, sucker.
Anyway, you know the ending of that story. We do digress. We haven't had any letters, but we have had emails and messages about Liz and Nick.
Yes, we have. The lovely Liz and Nick, who have been generously sharing their story with us for some time now.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have an update.
We do have an update. So it's just me chatting to the pair of them, which is really nice. I had a lovely chat. We're talking about what's happened in their story. One of the things that has happened in their story is that there is a pregnancy test and we hear about the results of a pregnancy test. So if you don't think that this is something you can listen to, please don't listen to it. You have been warned. This is a trigger warning.
Obviously, if you do feel robust enough, it's always it's good to hear more from those two. So
yeah, exactly. We've done it in traditional BFN style. We've got the audio diary from the pair of them.
Yeah, you did a little chat afterwards then, didn't you?
Yeah, and then I did a little chat with them. And it was very nice to catch up with them.
Yes, it always is. It always is. So, guys, enjoy. We will have another special.
Yes, we
will. At some point in the near future before coming back properly, probably, are we going to give a date?
Sometime around December.
Yeah, I was going to say December. Emma will shoot me for telling people. December. We'll be back in December. And you know what? December's not that far away.
It really isn't.
Oh my God. This year is flying by.
It really is. So
do enjoy, guys. And obviously, if you want to speak to us, we're always here.
We are. And if you miss us, you can always pre-order our book. It's coming out in January.
You surely can. But you could also get in touch with us via the social medias.
Yes, you can. On Instagram.
At Big Fat Negative.
On Twitter.
At Big Fat Negative.
Via email.
BigFatNegativePodcast@gmail.com.
Is that it?
Or you could sign up to our newsletter, The Waiting Room, which is coming out every week.
Yes, on a Tuesday. And that's you can find at BigFatNegative.com.
Yes, indeed.
Please enjoy this episode.
Enjoy, guys.
Hey, listen, Nick.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey, feels like a long time.
It has been a long time, yes.
A very long time, yeah. Obviously we're going to listen to your two-week wait journey.
You are.
Because you did finally get a transfer, didn't you?
We did. After a very long time.
Yeah. So can we just very quickly catch up on your journey so far?
From the start?
Yeah, let's just start at the very beginning.
From marriage.
We met.
Yeah. I was born.
So you started trying for a baby in
2015. So we got married in the September. I thought that there was something wrong. You were in denial.
Yeah, but you thought there was something wrong really like 2 months in.
Women's instinct.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I was okay, so then anyway. Then you started treatment in
2018.
Yeah, and with the test in 2017, wasn't it?
Yeah, started treatment in 2018. Found out about my cervical issues.
Mm-hmm. So did you have a diagnosis?
No, well, it was more to do with my LETS procedure and where they'd taken the cells from than anything else.
Okay.
So we transferred finally after surgery in January 2019.
Yes.
Which wasn't successful.
And that, so you'd actually only got one embryo.
Got one embryo. Yeah, we had four eggs, one embryo.
Yeah.
Then I extreme dieted for the NHS.
Yeah, good old NHS. They just want you to be healthy, Liz.
Well, this is
extreme dieting healthy.
No, extreme dieting healthy.
We thought we'd close that door anyway, hadn't we, by going private first?
Yeah, that's true.
So it was a nice surprise to get some.
And then we had two rounds with them, although one was no eggs, ended up with no eggs, and one was zero fertilisation.
Yeah, four eggs but no fertilisation.
Yeah, so that was a bit of a bust.
Mm-hmm.
Then we spent a long time trying to decide if we wanted to go and do IVF again and how that would look for us. And we made the decision to focus on getting a donor, an egg donor, from some advice from our consultant.
Yeah, because you considered just going straight for adoption, right?
We did, yeah, because I think we were both exhausted, to be honest. Yeah,
which is fair.
Then we spent a long time, found our donor, really happy.
Mm-hmm.
Went to, did a round, went to transfer. My cervix had closed up again.
Mm-hmm.
This was mid-pandemic, so we were having to wait to get some sort of surgery to resolve that, which came about in April of this year.
Uh-huh.
In between all of that, we found out that there were some medical things with our donor that we weren't aware of.
Okay.
So we ended up keeping our existing embryo from our first donor in the freezer and selecting a second donor.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally in June, we managed to do a round of IVF.
Wow.
Full round.
A full round. So you...
Yeah. All
bells and whistles.
Yep.
You got some embryos.
We did, yeah. So we had... This was with the new donor. So we basically decided that we wanted to go for a fresh transfer, or as fresh as you can get with a donor, uh-huh. which is something that we'd never had before. We'd always okay. had frozen transfers.
Yeah.
So we had 8 eggs from the donor.
Mm-hmm.
And ended up with 1 embryo.
One embryo. And then you did your transfer in?
In the end of June 2021.
Okay. Right. So yeah. You have been admirably quiet on social media about this. But you did your transfer at the end of June 2021.
I did.
Let's listen to what happened.
Okay.
Hello, it's me, Nick. I am currently outside the fertility clinic and I've been asked by Liz, who is currently inside said clinic, if I want to do a record. Currently the reason why we are at the clinic is because hopefully, fingers crossed, Liz is going to have an embryo transfer this very afternoon. We had a cool first thing this morning saying our one embryo had reached the day 5 blastocyst and it was good for a fresh transfer today. Obviously, we've been in this position before, so I'm a bit nervous and I'm hopefully I might be interrupted at any minute with the clinic asking whether I confirm that the embryo can be used. Fingers crossed it all go to plan and we can enjoy the day and start our 2-week wait. So the good thing about the start of the 2-week wait is you don't have to stress over it too much, I say, touch words. We just want to get into a position where the transfer happens. We don't want any more unpleasant surprises.
So, do you want to tell everyone where we are and what's just happened?
We're in our garden and we just had a McDonald's. Is that what you mean?
Why have we had a McDonald's?
Because we've successfully transferred.
Yay!
Funds over to another account.
Oh, I mean, I think we've already given enough funds to the other account, haven't we? So, yeah, we've finally had a successful embryo transfer. I've, you know, already said it to a couple of friends. I just feel very, I don't know. I don't really know how I feel. I think relief is my overarching feeling coming out of that, definitely. But actually, it went really well. My favourite consultant was there, and she was amazing. And she did the transfer and everything. She knows exactly where she's going, and it was just brilliant. It was a real relief actually to see her there. So, sorry, there's some horny pigeons doing some flapping. Yeah, it was a real relief to see her there and to have that kind of reassurance, really. And just, she's really in our corner, I think, so that's always really helpful. But yeah, now it begins. So, it's now Saturday. I had the transfer on Wednesday. So, is that 4 days? I don't know. Anyway, I'm okay. I'm like trying not to kind of be in my head. For the first couple of days, I was quite numb, to be honest. I didn't really sort of think about it at all. Obviously did some Googling because, you know, who doesn't? I think it's like standard practice. And, from what I read, it's like the decision is basically already been made. as to whether or not it's sticking around or not, so which feels a bit weird. But it then makes like the cramping and stuff easier to identify as just being side effects from like the progesterone and stuff. So I think like when, I think it must have been when Emma was going through this actually with Noah, that she said to me that somebody had said to her, it's side effects, not symptoms. And that really helped her to be able to kind of not keep second guessing what was going on in her body. And I did it the first time round, and it did actually really help me to just switch off from it and not be constantly thinking, oh God, that twinge, that this, what, that, you know, that is, that mean it's working or, you know, or not working. So yeah, it's, I'm coping, I think. We're going away next week, which is good. I think it's going to help. But I'm fine. I'm mainly just experiencing sort of these side effects. So cramping. I've got a headache at the moment, which is fun. Just trying not to overthink about it, which is really hard. So it's Friday, and we've come to West Wales for a few days, which has like been a huge distraction, and it's been really great. And there's like limited phone signal here, so it's been really nice to kind of switch off and just enjoy the outdoors, I guess. It's weird because I can't remember if we said, but we elected to buy our pregnancy test on Amazon because neither of us could bear the thought of going into the shop and picking it up. So we bought it with us because we test in like 2 days, less than 2 days now. And I have to keep stopping myself from daydreaming, from getting too far ahead of myself, because I think this time, like, I can't imagine it being a no. I can, like, the imagery of it being positive is stronger, and I know that when it is a no, if it is a no, then that will just really devastate me. So it's official test day, and we actually managed to last till, I mean, I say it's like a decent time in the morning, but it's not really, it's like 5:30. I wasn't brave enough, like Emma and Gary, to do a sort of in real time test, because I just didn't know what the outcome was going to be. Sorry, Nick's like gesticulating at me because I'm trying to like drag it out for, you know, effect. But anyway, you could probably hear from our voices that we've just got our first ever fucking positive pregnancy test. Shit. Fuck. Obviously, we know this is like the first step, and there's no guarantees from here on in. But oh my God, I can't believe we've got to this point. Like after all this time, guess we'll see what happens next.
Mate.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fuck.
Was there a drum roll?
I mean, there should have been.
Did it feel like there was a drum roll?
In my head, there was.
Yeah. While you were waiting for that test to change.
It was, I mean, we were both pretty certain that life was just going to go back to normal, weren't we?
Yeah, I think it was taking the test just felt, oh, we need to do this. Yeah. And back to normal.
Tick the box, back to normal.
I think the thing that really struck me was just how numb you sound all the way through. Yeah. You're just like, yeah.
Yeah, there was no... You always imagine you're just going to be jumping for joy when you see the two lines, but it's just really... I can't believe it.
Yeah. And also, being part of this community, you are very aware of all of the scenarios that could occur after seeing those two lines.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always kind of in the back of your mind as well.
Did you, so how long did you have the bliss for?
Oh, I don't even think I did, to be honest.
No. You just went straight for the anxiety.
I always look for you for guidance. I was like, oh, I better not be too excited.
Like looking at an air hostess on a plane.
Yeah. I think because I rang the clinic to let them know about our result, and what did you say to me?
If you left the message, and if I was on the other end of that, I'd assume it was bad news. So I took the test, just ringing to let you know the results.
I'll
call you back another time.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, very odd feeling. After you've waited so long for something to happen, then to happen.
Yeah. I think my first thought, like genuinely one of my first thoughts when I first got my positive test was, I'm not ready for this.
No, I think that's right. I think that's right. You've spent so long like trying to will it into being. And then when it happens, you're like, oh God.
Yeah. So we're talking mid-October.
We are.
How's it been? So you must be around 20 weeks. No.
Yeah, so 18 weeks at the moment.
Yeah.
Mental.
And how many scans have you had?
Do you know, I've been really good. I've only had the ones that have been offered to me.
Wow, that is impressive.
But then I only took one test.
True.
You know, like everybody was like, how many millions of tests did you take? I was like, one.
Yeah.
Because I can't bear it. I couldn't.
We got close, didn't we? We almost took another test.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you were very hyper aware of how you were feeling. Is this, do I feel pregnant?
And you're still on medication as well. So you're very, conscious of the fact that anything you're feeling could be related to the meds.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel, it's a stupid question, do you feel like your infertility has affected your experience of pregnancy? And if so, how?
Yeah, I mean, I still don't believe it's real.
Yeah.
At all.
Have you bought anything for the baby yet?
No, not a thing. Not a thing. And, you know, we were just speaking before now, but Nick's got quite a big assessment coming up in November. So in my brain, I'm like, we cannot do anything before that date.
Right.
And then I'll probably push it to Christmas.
Yeah.
I think we always said after Christmas was probably the...
So, yeah, I'm kind of not really worrying about anything practical or even thinking about anything practical because... That also puts off, like, acknowledging or accepting that it's actually happening.
Yeah, it's. I think I went to a therapist when I was pregnant because I just couldn't, like, I was like you, I just couldn't accept that it was happening, and I found it very difficult. And she said, "It's great that humans have 9 months to get used to the idea."
I think that's very true, especially for us. Because I think you us as in the community, because like you say, you go through so much and you're constantly faced with bad news. So, you know, a friend of mine, Caitlin, you know, she's in a similar position to us. And speaking with her, she has had a very similar experience.
Okay.
In that she's not been able to process the fact that it's actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems to be a bit of a common theme, which is so sad because we want it so badly.
Infertility just robs you of any like ability to enjoy
Yeah.
pregnancy.
It definitely does. And I think in terms of, you know, just in terms of being able to embrace it,
mm-hmm.
you just can't.
It's hard.
Because,
but are you having moments of joy and moments of like, how lucky am I?
I think we are having, we talk about it more positively now than we did right at the start. I think you just didn't dare have that conversation, have discussion about names and stuff.
Yeah, because you, as I said before, you kind of just have that awareness of things that can go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when we told people, because we told family, and in the back of my head, the first thing the first thought that came to mind was, why are you telling these people? Because you're only going to have to let them down when it goes wrong.
Yeah.
Which I suspect I would not, a thought that I wouldn't have if I hadn't been through what we've been through.
Yeah. It's funny though, isn't it? Because I feel like we've got to know each other quite well over the last few years.
Mm.
And I feel like you're quite an optimistic person generally.
I am, yeah.
I'm the pessimist in this relationship.
But actually in this scenario, you're more optimistic than I am. With complete role reversal, aren't we?
I just can't wait for March to come around. I admit, I want it now.
I know.
Is it March that you're due?
Yes.
Oh, March is the best month to be born in.
Yeah.
It's
after September.
have you found yourself really scrutinizing your own body massively?
Yes. Yeah, and I think I don't know if it's even more so because being plus size.
Okay.
So that comes with its own, you know, host of not issues, but you know, things like maternity clothes are not as readily available.
Okay.
And I think my body is looking more like I've eaten a lot of cake than anything else.
Like my body.
To be fair, mine did until I was about 38 weeks.
Yeah, it's very, I guess you have this sort of like idealist view of what your body is going to do.
Yeah.
And that doesn't come to fruition either. So I think a lot of, you know, a lot of the things that we imagine and think about before we get to this point, mm-hmm. if, you know, it's very kind of idealist and the reality is very different.
I do think it's worth pointing out that most people don't get, you know, a real kind of bump like you imagine until they're in well into their third trimester.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though you think you're going to get it. And then you walk, like, I remember going to scans and feeling really self-conscious that I didn't have a bump.
Yeah, no, I think that's, yeah, I even now, you know, I bought a pair of, you know, jeans and things, and I felt so aware that I was like this imposter buying these jeans, and that people would look at me and go, she doesn't need those jeans. Ridiculous.
It's, yeah.
I remember going to that restaurant with friends and...
Jen and Gav.
I didn't know if I should name them.
You
Hello.
Can, yeah.
And I think it was Jen that mentioned it to the waiter, like, you couldn't enjoy the steak because you need to have it well done because you were pregnant. And I could see your face and you just weren't happy that it was sort of said out loud. Or said to someone else.
Well, it wasn't that I wasn't happy. I think I just wasn't... I hadn't heard someone else say it out loud. I hadn't heard myself say it out loud. Mm-hmm. So to hear someone else say it out loud was like, oh, okay, yeah, no, actually, she's right.
Also,
sometimes it's quite validating to hear that from someone else's mouth.
Yeah, and, you know, to be fair, it's, you know, it was needed to be said.
Mm.
And I was glad she'd said it and it wasn't me.
Have we got to the 12-week scan by then?
No. Right. And that, you know, it's been really strange because, so one of the reasons that we decided not to say anything on social media, aside from the podcast, is that my sister had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd made the decision not to share with anybody, no family members at all, because we wanted to make sure that my sister, you know, had the experience that she should have had.
Yeah.
Had she not had an infertile sister.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't want anything to do with our experience to take away any of her joy or anyone else's joy. So
either positive or negative.
We wanted the focus to be on them, and we wanted to make sure that they got the support that they needed.
Mm-hmm.
And to have Jen by my side, knowing at that early stage and almost advocating for me in that scenario, was, as you say, was really validating, but I didn't quite recognize it at the time.
Right. It's such a hard time because you feel like you've gone up to the next level. Like if you're playing the great game of TTC, you're at the next level. But like, I think when I got my positive test, I thought, oh, I've won. But you haven't won, because this is like absolute psychological minefield to wade through.
And you almost feel like you're prepared for it because of, you know, of having done, you know, however many rounds of IVF and having to dealt with so many scenarios to do with all of that. But it's a whole nother mindfuck.
I remember getting to the, just before we had the 6-week scan, but absolutely sick, physically sick going into that, because I was convinced it wouldn't have got any further. And then you have to wait for the 12-week scan. You have to wait for the 20-week scan. It's all going to be...
I didn't wait for those scans. I just went paid for other ones. It's just, it's very hard. But it's also, mate, so exciting.
Yeah.
Thank you. Are you both so excited?
Yeah.
I get my moments. I do get my moments.
I definitely feel as my pregnancy progressed, I was able to be more excited.
Yeah. I mean, we've got our 20-week scan in a couple of weeks. And so I'm hoping that that next milestone will help me to feel a bit more comfortable.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the support that we've had so far from medical professionals has been really, really great. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't stop me feeling like an imposter when I walk into the room.
Oh, mate. Yeah, I can absolutely, I remember it so well. It's really hard. The other thing was that, you know, during my pregnancy, I was convinced that I was going to find giving birth really easy because I was really badass about pain. Because of all the painful procedures I've been through. It turns out that's not true.
I mean, I have to confess that the thought of giving birth really freaks me out.
It's not very easy.
Yeah, so, I mean...
Something to look forward to.
Exactly.
I'll be at the window outside because I won't be allowed in.
I mean, it's ridiculous, isn't it? Because you think... crying out loud, you want this to happen, you've been trying for this for so long, what is wrong with you?
But you never think about giving birth. The whole focus with fertility treatment, or certainly for me, was on getting pregnant.
That's true.
I never thought about the baby bit.
No. Like a colleague at work said to me the other day, oh, do you feel like you've been pregnant forever? And I was like, I'm not even convinced that I am pregnant. So ask me again when I've managed to process it, because
Yeah,
like you say, you know, it's about getting those two lines, and then,
yeah,
6 weeks.
You know, I hadn't even considered what happened after that.
Yeah, the next bit seems just so distant. It's not worth thinking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, look, I am over the moon for the pair of you, and I'm pretty sure everyone will be, because we've been getting emails fairly nonstop going, are you going to let us know what happened with Liz and Nick? What happened with Liz and Nick? I think I speak for all our listeners when I say congratulations.
Thank you.
We're so pleased. And that was me talking for Gabby as well.
Oh, thank you both. And thank you for allowing us to keep sharing.
Any updates we'll obviously share with everyone.
And then we'll share it with the little fox cub one day.
Yeah.
Oh, the little fox cub. I'm so excited. I can't wait to eat it. And if it's not called Emma, I'll be really upset. Hey, Gabs.
Well, huh.
How are you feeling after that?
Pretty emotional.
Yeah?
Yep. That's big news, that, right?
Big news. I feel like those who have been through one of the longest journeys anyone I know.
Yeah, it's been a tough one.
One of the hardest, certainly.
So many ups and downs and like false starts and...
Yeah, I mean, I would say mainly downs.
Yeah, yeah.
And then one big up.
So very, very pleased that they've caught a break.
Yeah, massively. So,
I'm sure you're all the same. And if you found that hard, then I'm sorry. And look after yourself.
Absolutely. We'll see you guys again soon.
We will see you again in December.
Yeah. Have a great month and a bit.
Yeah, love you guys.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.